Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to our debut episode of Organized Chaos with Rex Ryan, who will be joining me shortly. I'm Bart Scott. The newest NFL podcast from ESPN, Organized Chaos, is here. Every Monday morning through the Super Bowl, we'll have a new episode talking through the games that really mattered, the plays that mattered, and what happens next. Our very first Sunday is in the books. We saw new faces and new places, a couple of big comebacks, and more than our share of surprises. But before Rex joins me, I'm telling you guys, let's talk about Matthew Stafford in the new look Los Angeles Rams. He connected on a 67-yard touchdown pass on his opening drive and never looked back. The Rams win 34-14. Matthew Stafford, elite, 20 for 26, 321. Justin Fields, first carry is a touchdown. Andy Dalton, 200 yards and one INT. Up next, Rex is going to join me, and we're going to break down the whole day, starting with Kansas City. Organized Chaos. Let's roll.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm sitting here with the Rex Ryan. Rex, what an opening week in the NFL. I tell you what, man, this has lived up to expectations. We've been thirsty for football, man. It is great to see everybody back playing, crowds in the stands, and these games count for real. What did you think about the Kansas City and the Cleveland Browns game, a game that seems like these two will be on a collision course to see each other again?
Yeah, you're right, Barton, because quite honestly, look, man, I think you're in trouble because I know you're on record as saying Cleveland's going to miss the playoffs. Dude, I don't think so. Oh, shoot, they look good. And when I was – I think I was as impressed with Cleveland more so than I was with Kansas City. I mean, the ability of Cleveland to just to pound the hell out of the football. I mean, they were averaging over 7 yards a carry, and Baker Mayfield played phenomenal. I get it. I know he – you know, people blame Baker Mayfield, like, oh, he cost him the game because, you know, he threw the bad interception. Look, he made a mistake, and I don't care what they say. He wasn't throwing that ball away. He tried to make a play, and he came up empty on it. He should have thrown it away. But don't blame him. If we're going to blame somebody, for the love of God, can we blame the punter? How – you've got one job. They had punted all day. Bart, they had no punts all day. Homeboy gets out there. He's from, I don't know, somewhere overseas across the pond. Somebody needs to teach him how to catch. Because, dude, the ball's right there in his hands. He drops it. That was the killer in the game right there. And I thought the fans would be an impact in Kansas City. I think they were. And that dude right there, come on, dude, catch the ball and punt it. But what a great game. I have a feeling we may very well see these teams play against each other. But in my thing, I was so impressed by the Cleveland Browns, that offense. Now, defense, another story, but that offense impressed the heck out of me.
But Rex, did they let one get away? Because, you know, listen, this is going to be a razor-thin battle for the AFC North division title. You know, we talk about the other teams within the division, you know, a little later. You know, right now, Cincinnati's leading the division. You know, it's funny to say that. But they look good, right? Joe Burrow coming back. You talk about what he was able to do on his day going against a very stout Minnesota team. But can you really gain confidence from a game that you lose? Do you think this is a win-win for both? Kansas City kind of woke up offensively, figured some things out, you know, getting 23 points in the second half. You know, but, you know, they've been there. They have high aspirations. But can Cleveland leave this game feeling good about themselves?
Well, I think they can. And from a fan perspective, which is the seat that I'm in right now, you're dang right. If I'm a Cleveland Brown fan, man, I'm pumped. I'm like, you know what? If we got a punter and catch the football, we're going to win that game. So to me, I'm pumped about it. Now, if you're a coach or a player in that locker room, hell yeah, you're pissed. And you know, you let one get, you know, that you, that was a game you were dominating and you kind of, you never finished the deal. And so to me, yes, you absolutely are upset about it. In that locker room. But as a fan, all fans of Cleveland Browns are going to be like, hell yeah, we got us a team. And I believe they do. But yes, you're exactly right, Bart. They did let one slip, slip out of their hands. And I think their punter is the guy that's a GOAT. Don't blame it on Baker Mayfield. I don't want to hear that stuff. Blame it on the dang punter.
But I thought you couldn't blame one person for a loss. But listen, I digress. So I want to ask you this then. So when you look at this game, right, we had two very high-profile games this week, right? It started off with the season opener with the Bucs and the Cowboys. The Cowboys lost, right, but they looked good. And now today you have the other representatives in the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs, going against Cleveland. Compare the two teams that lost and tell me which team do you have more belief in being a good team and being able to maybe potentially win the Super Bowl, the Dallas Cowboys or the Cleveland Browns?
Man, I tell you what, both great questions. I have confidence in both their offenses, but their defenses to be Super Bowl worthy, how are you going to win with those type of defenses? You know, and I love people like, oh, Dallas played great on defense. They had four turnovers. Dude, you were looking at the stats and not the game. They were gifted those turnovers. So to me, I ain't buying the Dallas defense. And Cleveland's defense has never been any good. Like, I don't get it. And that's something they may have to address in the offseason, because somebody's got to go out there, because they're not playing to the level of their players. They have a lot of good players on that defense, great players, but they're, you know, that's it. That, you know, what happened? Kansas City, they let them off the hook, man. And it drives me crazy. But I would think, to me, like, there's no way I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys, because I don't believe in their defense. I don't. And as much as I don't like the way Cleveland's defense plays week in, week out, I think they have the talent to be much better on defense than they've showed.
All right, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but like, so are you telling me that the Cleveland Browns is your favorite in the AFC North? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers look pretty impressive too. So, you know, what do you think about their assessment, how they looked, you know, going into their opening game, going against a tough matchup against another team that people believe are going to be a Super Bowl contender in the Buffalo Bills? And all they did was how the Steelers always do. They find a way to win. Big Ben finds a way to come back and figure things out in the second half. They get the victory in a tough environment. You know how tough it is to play up in Buffalo, but they've had it and weathered the storm, and Mike Tomlin never seems panicked.
No, you're exactly right. But, Bart, you and I both know, when you're looking at Ben Roethlisberger early in that game, like, oh, dude is done. He looks old. He looks slow. My gosh, he's terrible back there. Oh, how they look in the second half? It's like, oh my God, what the hell? Where did that come from, dude? Like, he looked dead in the water, and they should have, but they couldn't put him away. Buffalo's, you know, the thing that you got to tip your hat to that defense. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense was phenomenal in the way they were able to rush the passer. And look, Buffalo gives up on a run. They just, you know, they average 7 yards a run. The running back averaged 7 yards a run. Hey, Buffalo. You know, I get it. You don't have Cookie Gilchrist back there, but my goodness, run the damn ball a little bit. You know, you're getting 7 yards a carry. Keep that defense honest, because they had those ears pinned and they were rushing that passer like scalded dogs. So to me, that was the thing I was most impressed with. And then the special teams. And it's funny, we're talking about special teams. That's the most overlooked thing there is. In early weeks, they make huge differences in the NFL. Why people don't practice those things live. And now you've got guys who made the football team, all right, are now pressed into duty to be part of the special team, you know, be the punt protection team. And all of a sudden they miss a block and a guy comes in and blocks a punt for a touchdown. There are differences in games. So sometimes early in the season, you see some of these mistakes, but Buffalo to me, Pittsburgh to me, I still think is a notch below Cleveland and a notch below Baltimore. We're going to see tomorrow night how, you know, this Raven team is affected by the losses. You know, obviously of Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, obviously, and Marcus Peters.
How this
affects that football team. Knowing John Harbaugh the way you and I do, and knowing this, you know, the way the makeup is of that entire organization from top to bottom, that they're going to find a way to win anyway. Like, this is a bad football team, you know, like a badass football team. And they're going to almost sit back and say, Yeah, that's all right. When it's tough on everybody else, it's just right for us. And that is who the Baltimore Ravens are. And I'm not going to concede that the Pittsburgh Steelers are better than the Baltimore Ravens yet.
I'll tell you what, another recurring thing that really happened this week. We had players coming back from injury. Now, you know, usually people always just want to focus on quarterbacks that come back from injury. Of course, Dak Prescott, that's one that comes to mind immediately, right? Joe Burrow, he comes back. But I tell you what, man, there was some other guys, some running backs coming back. You had Saquon Barkley coming back. You got Christian McCaffrey coming back. You know, you have Chandler Jones coming back. You know, I know it seems like the easy fix. What player seemed, you know, more like himself and more dominating coming back? And most people say, hey, oh, Dak Prescott, you know, looked great. But why don't you tell some people about the West Coast bias and what Chandler Jones did today and how historic it was of what Chandler Jones did to Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. Taylor Lewan's a big dude, right? Big, tough dude. He walks around Tennessee's camp, you know, all over the place in Tennessee, and like, he's the man. He's the best in the business, big man on campus, big, tough guy and all that stuff. He got his tail kicked. I mean, all up and down, all over the place. Chandler Jones, when you talk about the best performance, you're right. Dak Prescott, you know, hey, great game, man. You know, I'm all for you, but hell no, you never had the best game. This Chandler Jones, my goodness, what a performance he put on. Hey, Bart, I got something for you, though. Dude's not the baddest. He grew up in a house where he wasn't the baddest dude in the house. Are you kidding me? Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Ryan's a tough family. I ain't messing with the Jones family down the street. I can assure you. Like,
Bones Jones, God. Arthur Jones, for those listening who don't know that, you know, Chandler Jones' brother is Bones Jones, famous UFC light heavyweight champion, one of the baddest men in UFC, never lost. But also Arthur Jones, you talk about a family to have three guys become professional athletes. You know, right now two have Super Bowl titles and the other one is just the undefeated UFC champion. I tell you what, man, I don't know what it was like fighting for the last piece of chicken on that table, man. But sometimes you're like, you know what, that chicken ain't worth it, man. I'll just go buy my own chicken, go somewhere else.
I think that's why you see Chandler Jones can really rush the edge like he did. You know what I mean? Like, hey, when he's going up against Taylor Lewan, that ain't nothing. That's a picnic. You know, when I had to go up against my brothers, you know, Arthur and John Jones. But that's what it looked like. It looked like a man against boys. And look, here's the thing that's scary about this game, Bart. When I look at it, when you talk about it, that and you know, that performance by Chandler Jones, look at the game as a whole. Like, how good was Arizona in this game?
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh. And first off, I wanted to see it because, you know, I've been clowning on this Cliff Kingsbury all day long, right? Like forever, ever since he got the
air
job.
Raid.
Air raid stuff. Air raid my butt. There was no air raid there. That's what I was so impressed with. This dude said, you know what? I'm going to improve as a coach too. He had a tight end in a tight end position and a back in the backfield almost the entire day. And he realizes, by the way, I have one of the greatest athletes on the planet in this Kyler Murray. Oh, my God, is he sensational. Might have had the play of the year when he made every single player miss and then winds up throwing a ball down the field for about 35 yards. Like, he's incredible. And if they keep this guy healthy and play defense the way they played against a team, here's the crazy thing.
Yes.
The Tennessee Titans.
Bully ball. Mean,
they scored more points last year than the Kansas City Chiefs did on offense. Does anybody remember that? I'm telling you, it's a true fact. But coming in here, I'm thinking, how does this happen? And I came down to this conclusion, Bart. Sometimes it's harder to replace a coach than it is a player. And if you have a special coach, who I think Arthur Smith was.
Right.
All right. So I might be like, we assume this thing, how can they be worse? They add Julio Jones. They still got Derrick Henry, but where was Derrick Henry in that game?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. You talk about 17 carries, 58 yards, 3.4 carry. That's not the rushing king that we know. You know, it's a guy that usually takes over a game, and the fact that he only had 17 touches lets you know how early they were down. You know, but I tell you what, when you talk about that, you talk about Kyler Murray, you talk about just the NFC West as a whole, right? The Rams are playing a little later tonight. You got 41 points put up by San Francisco. They beat down Detroit. right? You look at what Seattle was able to do to Indianapolis, and the Cardinals destroyed one of AFC's best. Like, is it possible that we could potentially see four teams from the NFC West all in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it is. And because, you know, quite honestly, when you look at that whole division, like, here's a crazy stat that people don't talk about. Everybody looks at San Francisco as this great football team. Why? 2 years ago, they made it to the Super Bowl, all right? And probably could have won that game, but they didn't. But so right away, they're a great football team. Do you realize 4 out of the last 5 years, San Francisco was dead last in their division? That's how good this division is. So, yes, Bart, I agree with you. We may very well see 4 teams from that division in the playoffs.
That's crazy. And I tell you, the good, the bad, and ugly, though. I know we kind of bouncing around a little bit. But we started off talking about the players that came back from injury that performed at a high level.
Yeah.
We failed to talk about the one who had a disappointing game. You know, and I would think that is it time to be concerned about Saquon Barkley, 27 total yards against the Denver Broncos, who I know are tough, but you expect, you know, generational type of stuff out of Saquon Barkley. He was supposed to be Adrian Peterson. He was supposed to have mutant blood. He was supposed to be a generational gold jacket player. 27 yards, Rex, ain't gonna get it done, especially when we know that McCaffrey came back and he looked like McCaffrey.
Yeah, he did. I mean, all McCaffrey did was have 187 total yards from scrimmage. Like, you're right. And Saquon Barkley is supposed to be every bit the player Christian McCaffrey is. Something's not right. You know who's pissed off? I'm pissed off because I drafted this cat in the first round of my fantasy league like a lot of people did. And, like, where is it? But I think there's a bigger concern here, man. The concern for me is how bad is that giant offensive line? Still, after all these years now, it's a joke. The man averages, as talented as Saquon Barkley is, he averaged, 2.6 a carry? Yeah. What? You can fall forward and average 2.6 a carry. So to me, yes, are you concerned with Saquon? I am, but I'm concerned with that offense in general. And quite, if you can't block them, then you can't do anything offensively. And I don't care how good the running back is, how good the quarterback is, how good your skill guys are at wideout. If you can't pass protect, you can't run block, you're in trouble. And that's what we saw with the Giants again.
Well, like you said, we continue to beat the bad drum for somebody who really loves to hog mollies. I don't know if he has one on that offensive line. But I tell you what, I want to kind of come over too and talk about, you know, Mac Jones and his performance, the battle of the Alabama quarterbacks. You know, now he comes out and he shines in his debut, and it maybe looks like, you know, this kid's going to be something special. He's going to put up big numbers. It seems like he understands exactly what Bill Belichick wants to do. You know, how important was it for Miami, though, to get a win early in the season to kind of tell themselves and put everybody else on notice to say, hey, that this is a team that's also should be looked upon as maybe a playoff contender?
Yeah, Bart, I mean, it's amazing how every – pundit was saying New England's got a chance. They can compete with Buffalo for the division. And everybody just tossed away Miami. All Miami did was win 10 games the year before when New England won, seven games, whatever it was. And everybody dismisses it. But here's what I was impressed with more than anything. All right. Number one, New England controlled the game. I mean, they absolutely controlled it. Time of possession, my gosh, it was one-sided. And then, you know, statistically, all that type of battle. But where they got beat on the scoreboard, and that's the most important thing. And all Miami did was go to a place that they had their last 12 games, they were 1-11, you know, in Foxborough. Well, they come out of there with a win. Everybody knew it was going to be a hard-fought game, but my goodness, it was it's a huge win for Miami. And you know what? I think this thing proves, though, it's hard to win in this league with a rookie quarterback, man. And as good as he played or whatever, I mean, he was controlled. I mean, they're over. How many rookie quarterbacks won their debut today? Oh, that's right. 0-3. 0-3.
I tell you what, man, like some little quick hits around the league, what happened, you know, we had some injuries today. We had, the Jets O-line looked dreadful today, man. They lost Mekhi Becton. It looks or is believed that it's going to be more of a sprained MCL and not the dreaded ACL, which means that they may get him back. Joe Judge, man, you know, Joe Judge and the Giants off to another rough start as they lose another season opener. I can't remember the last time the Giants won a season opener. And the Giants and Falcons, man, suffered just disappointing losses. Cincinnati, you know, Cincinnati comes out of nowhere and beats the Vikings. You know, they have high hopes there. We thought maybe the Vikings was a team that was being slept on. And the Falcons, man, the Falcons drop a nail biter, man. They drop a tough game, like, in the league. I don't know what's going on with the Falcons. You know, Matty Ice, you know, this is a team that's rebuilding. Kyle Pitts, we expected a little bit more in his debut, but they find themselves falling short. So I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, man. And I tell you what, it's been a surprise, right? New faces and new places. But then I tell you what, it's a quarterback that took a gap year that looked like it may have paid off.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. He's Rex Ryan. I'm Bart Scott. Let's keep it moving, Rex. I tell you what, it was a very, very bad day in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and it had a lot to do with Jameis, who was hungry for W's like I've never seen before. It used to be no risky, no biscuit, but today he had 5 touchdowns and 0, Rex, 0 turnovers. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, how do you look, 5 touchdown passes, all right? And, you know, I get it, 150 yards, 5 touchdown passes. And, Bart, I might have been more impressed with the fact there was nothing on that other ledger, that 0 interceptions. And he protected his team. And that was so dang impressive. And I got to tell you something. So, Mike Westhoff, our good friend,
yes,
he used to coach with us for years and years. Still very well.
Crazy onside kick.
Straight crazy onside kick. But he was one of the great coaches that I've ever had the pleasure of coaching with. But I talked to Wesley the other day, and he was telling me that, you know, he's still very well connected with the Saints where he coached. And he goes, you know, this Jameis Winston, when he came in, he was the most humble guy of all time. He came in with a pad, with a you know, a notebook, a pen, all that. He sat down, never said a word, and all he did was go to work, rolled those sleeves up and went to work. He studied under, he recognized who he was dealing with. Sean Payton, one of the best quarterback coaches in the history of our game, a phenomenal offensive coach. Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played and one of the most articulate guys. And he said, all right, I'm going to learn. And instead of just coming in and saying, hey, I'm Jameis Winston, I threw for 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, albeit 30 interceptions, but I was the first overall pick, and be that way, be cocky and all that. He did just the opposite. He came in like, I'm a rookie, and I'm here to learn. And, man, how do you not pull for somebody like that? Here's a guy that was, you know, thought of as a great quarterback at one time and humbled himself to say, I've got to get better. And if I'm going to play to my potential, I got to get better. And good for him, man. 5 touchdown passes against the Green Bay Packers. Maybe they shouldn't have fired Mike Pettine. I don't know. Maybe,
I knew you couldn't resist.
You know I couldn't, Bart. So they fired the defensive coordinator. My buddy.
And they give up 40.
Mike Pettine, and they give up 5 touchdown passes to Jameis Winston. And that was crazy. But I got to say something, Bart. The most impressive thing to me, dude, was that defense. Oh, forget everybody going to be talking about how bad Aaron Rodgers was and the offense and all this stuff. No, no, no. It's the other side of the ball. That's what was dominant to me. More impressive than Jameis Winston's 5 interceptions or 5 touchdowns was that Saint defense. And, man, here's the problem with the Packers. Outside of Devontae Adams,
yeah,
nobody can beat man coverage. I mean, nobody. Say it right here. Nobody can beat man coverage. You wonder why Aaron Rodgers is all ticked off at you? Because I took Jordan Love. Maybe he can beat man coverage. I don't know. Because you got wideouts can't beat man coverage. And,
hey,
and
Rex,
that's what this was about.
Rex.
Last name down, Bart.
No, Rex. Now, A-Ron played general manager. He brought in Randall Cobb. He said that's what he needed. He went and got Randall Cobb. He could have picked anybody else to try and pull a power move with, and he decided to hitch his wagon to Randall Cobb. Now, Randall Cobb, listen, is a good player, but I don't think he's the player that they need. If I was A-Ron, I would have been asking for Odell Beckham, asking somebody to go get Odell Beckham, who didn't dress for Cleveland today. I understand he's coming back from the ACL, but I tell you what, Randall Cobb isn't going to get it done. And Marcus Lattimore should start getting more credit for being a lockdown corner. Because that's not the only guy that he does that to, Davante Adams. You know, he matched him pretty much all day. And we've seen Davante Adams really ascend and probably be considered one of the best, if not one, maybe two top, definitely top five receivers in this league. Now, on the other side, A-Aaron. So you're saying it's more about that defense than it is about A-Aaron. A-Aaron did everything but focus on football for the majority of the offseason. Maybe, just maybe, his timing's off and they don't have a rhythm established and he didn't play much in the preseason. Any concern with Green Bay and A-Aaron going forward?
Who is the New Orleans Saints? You know what I'm saying, dude? I get you, Bart. Yeah, he was on that Jeopardy and all that type of stuff, but I don't think it's time to panic just yet if I'm the Green Bay Packers. And we're going to get
R-E-L-A-X.
You know he's going to say it. He's going to spell it out and just be calm, relax. Everything will be fine. And you know what? He'll get it done. But this is, if this isn't a reminder or a hit in the mouth, it sure is, because all they talked about was we got robbed and we should have won that game and been in the Super Bowl, all that stuff. No, you shouldn't have, dude. And here's the thing. The NFL is a prove-it league. You got to prove it every dang year. Nobody cares that you were the MVP last year. All right, Aaron Rodgers, nobody cares. Nobody cares that I've got a contract, I'm going to be a free agent at the end. Guess who cares? Nobody. Prove it in the NFL every single year. And I think people forgot about that. That's what you have to prove in this league. And that's the beauty of it. And when you see these teams, look, I must have picked every dang game wrong this week, because I was like every fan. I'm taking, not every game, but I mean, I'm taking the Bills. I'm taking the Packers. I'm taking the Washington football team. I don't know what the hell I was thinking about. And then the Colts. What the hell? But I'm sitting back taking these teams because I'm reading everybody else. I mean, everybody says how great these people are going to be. But again, what do we say? You got to prove it in this league.
Oh, absolutely. So, like, Jameis Winston, right, would be like the star of the new faces. I guess he's not new faces in new places because he was there last year, but this is first time starting. We had a couple other quarterbacks making their team debut. We had Carson Wentz. We had Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Teddy Bridgewater, Fitz Tragic, because it got tragic, the hip pointer. Tyrod Taylor. Who looked the most at home, and who looks or solidified that they were the quarterback of the future?
Bart, you're right, man. We had only 14 new quarterbacks, I think. You know, different teams. 14? What? Yeah, that's right. 14 new quarterbacks. But I think Tyrod Taylor, because everybody said the Houston Texans were the worst team in the National Football League. All right, everybody
hold my beer,
said
Jacksonville.
It.
Hold my beer, Jacksonville.
Well, and that was going to be – that's a classic pillow fight right there, right? But Taylor and company, man, they came out with the gloves on. Jacksonville had the pillows, but they came out with the gloves on. And Tyrod looked great in that game. I don't know who else watched it, maybe two or three fans. But I'm telling you, Tyrod Taylor looked great. Yes, I'm biased because that's my guy. And I think he's a lot better quarterback than people give him credit for. He's over 500 as a starter in this league. We praise guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick all the time. He wish he had the record of Tyrod Taylor. So, to me, I love it. You know, here's the crazy thing, Bart. The Texans are the only 1-0 team in the AFC West. Hey, stop the race. Give the Texans the trophy. Here, you won the division. Like, wouldn't that be something? If you take a team, nobody wanted this coach. Who the hell is David Culley, a receiver coach, is going to be? Hey, he'll be out of there next year. Well, maybe not. Tyrod Taylor, oh, he's just a throw-in. Well, maybe not.
I tell you what, Papa Smurf, a.k.a. Levy Smith. I saw that cover two going on right there. I saw Lawrence throw right into the old cover through two with the bailing cornerback. It's crazy how, like, the Tampa 2 can work in the pros, but he couldn't get it to work in the Big Ten.
Hey, you know, those college hashes change a little bit. Come on, Lovey. I don't think he was a very good recruiter, man. Lovey said, nah, dude, here's football. Let me get this paycheck and move on. But you got to recruit in that college game, and it never quite worked out for Lovey, but he's a good football coach.
All right, so we had three rookie quarterbacks that started today. We knew they were going to start. It looks like Justin Fields isn't going to start. Trey Lance, you know, got a little time, but then didn't start. Out of the three quarterbacks, you know, who impressed you the most?
And you're right, Justin Fields not going to start until next week probably. But anyway, I was impressed with the two top picks. So I was impressed with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he did throw three touchdowns or whatever. And it was, you know, there are some ups and downs, had the interceptions, all that type of stuff. But and Zach Wilson, I was impressed with Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be an outstanding quarterback. Look, they couldn't protect, man. He got sacked six times in that game. He's got to understand that clock has to speed up a little bit. And you mentioned that the big left tackle got hurt again.
Yeah, he's always hurt, man. That's
I know.
Big
I don't get it.
He's always hurt.
Is he too big? Like, I don't know. Like, I'd never say it to him because he kicked my ass, you know, butt. But that dude's a giant, but he's always hurt. He made a glass, like Glass Joe.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
What I mean? Like,
maybe Piston Honda. I don't know. Maybe Piston Honda. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. But remember, we had, you know, we had Mr. Sandman and DeBrickashaw Ferguson. He missed one play in over a 10-year career. That's what you want from a left tackle. This dude can't help himself. It seems like he gets hurt all the time. I felt bad for the big guy. You know, he was crying when he was coming off the field. And nobody's going to laugh nervous at him because he's huge.
Yeah, that's what had me nervous, right? He's crying. Usually it's the ACL. When I said it was the AC, when I heard it was the MC, I said, man, if you don't put some Robitussin on that and get your ass back in the game, we don't lead a game for an MCL. You know what I'm saying? Remember Bill Tessendorf? He's a builder of MCL. He takes some rubber, some tubing. He takes some duct tape. And he would have made us a new MCL. Pat us on the butt and told us to go back in the game. I couldn't believe that he was crying. It's just
MCL. Dude. They don't make them like they used to. You know what I'm saying? Like, and look, he's a giant, all that jazz. But come on, man. You're a lineman. Nobody cares. You know, you get an MCL. That's nothing, man. You know, you might miss a play tops. You know,
that's barbecue chicken, man. But I tell you what, man.
Come on, dude. You're not going to run a 40. We're not timing you in a 40. Just go block the dude for about three steps. You'll be all right.
I tell you what, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous because, you know, I said also when I said the Cleveland Browns wouldn't make the playoffs, I also said that the New England Patriots wouldn't make the playoffs. But I tell you what, this rookie, Mac and Cheese, I don't know. He's doing a little something that surprised me, throwing for over 300 yards. You know, I think played a pretty clean game. He showed all the arm strength, everything that, you know, that people loved about him in the preseason. He's living up to the expectations, man. I'm a little bit nervous, man, about that. I may have to go back and I may have to rechange my pick.
He ain't making the playoffs, dude. You know that. You and me both know that. We got to make fun of that team now. That's after all the butts that you know, we got our tails kicked by that team. The hell no. New England ain't going to win nothing. How about that? I'm going to say it myself. I'm right there with you, Bart. We ain't backing off on it. You got your Super Bowl rings. Now be gone. We're going to have somebody else play for it from now on. The next 10 years, get out of our face.
We don't
want you to win. Hey, you know who I was impressed with, Bart? I was impressed with the rookie wideouts, dude. Did you see some of these games?
Devontae Smith,
like, he dominated that Falcon game. Oh, my gosh. And then you got, you know, the Jamar Chase had a touchdown, and so did Waddle. All three guys had touchdowns, and that's what you want to see. And it's funny because back in the day, look, if you were a receiver taken in the first round, they did nothing as rookies. Generally, none of those guys played. But now that's where you see the evolution of the college game. These rookie receivers come in the league and they can play right from jump.
Are the receivers the new running backs of the league now? Because college, they throw the ball so much, so they come in, they can read coverages better, they can get off press, they know how to get in motions, get off the ball, line of scrimmage. You know, are the receivers the new running backs the most ready to plug and play position in all of football now?
Yeah, Bart, I think you nailed it. I think you hit it on the head. Absolutely they are. Because you say, look at Justin Jefferson last year. I mean, he came out and was a monster, you know, but they're guys like that. What's that?
Chase Claypool as well came in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean.
Plug and play.
Go down the list. you know, the big kid that plays in Cincinnati, you know, what the hell is his name?
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins from Clemson. Excuse me. But you got all those guys are playing, and they're playing early. And these guys right here, I was looking at them. I'm like, oh, shoot, these guys are legit. All three of them were legit, you know, in these games. And they're fun to watch, man. And we got some new stars in the league. Those receivers, all three of those kids are stars.
I tell you what, man, somebody who I believe is a star, but just can't catch a break, man, is your son, Daniel Jones. You know, Junior Wapperhands looked good early against Denver. We know that Denver is going to be a tough outfit, man. But once again, the turnovers just continue to plague him. Those Junior Wapperhands just can't hold on to the football, man. I don't know what's going on.
You know, you never give up on your son. You know what I mean? I'm not giving up on him. But my goodness, I need a little more from you, Daniel. And I like the fact he got in a fight with a whole football team. That's great. But come on, we got to do something, man. We got to get that offensive line competing harder, because it starts with protections. And I just think, you know, it's painful to watch. You know, I want to see the guy with a smile on his face just dominating. And that's, we haven't seen that. And I will say this, as bad a day as Daniel Jones had in that game, how bad was Joe Hardass's game? You know, I mean, Joe Judge's game, excuse me. Because Joe Judge, man, where was it? He throws a flag. Joe, you know, they review every single scoring play in the NFL. I don't know where you've been, dude, but excuse me. We don't need to throw a flag there, in that situation, they lost the timeout. This is one of those things you dread. Remember when they had back-to-back timeouts and Joe Gibbs, of all people, called it? And as a coach, you're like this, oh, gosh, covering your face up like, oh, no, that can't happen, you know. But the same thing, when I saw Joe Judge do that one, it was like, oh, no, he didn't, No, he didn't. But he's going to get – and you know what it is. He's not going to hear about it, right? Not in the New York media. They're not going to focus on this at all, I want to think, you know. But they just wait for any opportunity like that. And unfortunately, it just looked like that team wasn't prepared. And, I mean, I thought they'd give a great effort, and it just didn't look like that to me. And, you know, so we'll see. You know, when you talk about, like, some unfortunate things, you know, having Jerry Jeudy carted off, man. Like, you talk about a guy that can't catch a break, a great receiver. I thought he's going to have a terrific year this year. And in that game, Jerry Jeudy got carted off. And thoughts and prayers go out to that young man. And hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery.
I tell you what, it's going to be tough, man. Coming up this week isn't over with. You know, I know we got this Sunday night game, but I tell you what, man, Monday night is going to be a special game for us. I know we're going to be paying attention. The Baltimore Ravens are playing the Las Vegas Raiders, right? And right. Baltimore's had the worst string of bad luck in the last, you know, week or so. You talk about losing two pivotal players in back-to-back plays. When you talk about Marcus Peters, you talk about Gus Edwards, who's replacing J.K. Dobbins. They go out and they find a spare parts. You go get Le'Veon Bell, you go get Devontae Freeman, you go get Latavius Murray, which I think would be an upgrade. But how do you expect this team in a short week to come out and be able to perform on Monday Night Football, knowing that they just lost three or four players in the last 2 weeks and are going to be relying on guys with limited, you know, in-game experience?
Yeah, you're right. I can't wait to watch that Monday night game on ABC and ESPN, man. I can't wait to watch it. But you're right, Bart. I mean, you pause a little bit. How good are the Baltimore Ravens going to be now? Most teams, man, I can tell you this, and we've been there. We've lost a player right before the season. Remember what happened to Minnesota when they lost Teddy Bridgewater before the season? Man, everything caved in. I don't think the Ravens are built that way. I think we're going to see a heck of a football game by the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to travel on the road and say, you know what? It's tough on everybody else, just right for us. That's how they're built. That's the way we always have said it back when both you and I were over there on the sidelines. We used to say it all the time, and we believe it. And this football team believes it. They're going to have a tough matchup against the Raiders. And, you know, the Raiders now, for once, you know, they're feeling a little pressure, man. You know, John Gruden's not exactly the favorite child like he once was. They're starting to to question him a little bit. We'll see, you know, what this team, they have to improve in a lot of areas. And the number one area the Raiders have to improve in is that defense. You know, what do you think, Bart? You think with Gus Bradley coming over, running that cover three scheme, you think that'll help the Raiders?
I mean, you think about cover three, right? It has that invert safety. I just don't know if that's going to be enough to stop this potent run game, because really the catalyst of this running game is Lamar Jackson, because him being an athletic quarterback holds the backside linebacker, holds the backside defensive end. He can't flatten down. So he creates these vertical seams for these running backs. And even the guys that they picked up, I know they may not know the offense, but these are guys that understand how to do the zone read with these RPOs, either inside zone, outside zone. They know how to run it well. And Lamar Jackson, I believe, is going to take over. But I want to ask you, Rex, because you're the defensive guru. Everybody knows you're one of the best defensive minds in all of football, right? And you get it honest. Your dad, you know, created the 46 defense, one of the most innovative defenses in the history of our game, most devastating defense in this game. How does the Ravens make the adjustment now they only have one lockdown corner, and opposed to having two Marcus Peters? How much does this hurt Baltimore on the defensive side from a schematic standpoint, and how does Wink Martindale adjust?
Well, I think the big thing is it's about beating protections. And if you're going to fire blitzes, you've got to beat protections. And the reason why that's so important, and how do you beat protections? You get free runners on the quarterback. In other words, somebody that's not blocking a guy. Get a guy dialed in free to the quarterback. That way you only have to cover a guy for about 2 seconds. All right, that was the way when you mentioned my father's defenses back in the day. All right, he never had a college corner in his secondary. Everybody was college safeties. But they said, well, you know what? You get your hands on him, reroute a receiver. You only have to cover him for 2 seconds, and we're going to get there with the pass rush. That's what Baltimore is going to do. I don't think they're going to change who they are. I think they're going to be blitzing when they come off that bus, and now more so now than ever. And so I think that's what we'll see. Wink Martindale and John Harbaugh, all those guys come up with that type of scheme. They're going to be like, come on, bring it. Let's see what you got. We ain't changing anything, because you're the, you know, Las Vegas Raiders, man. We got to put Jimmy Smith on Waller probably just because of the size matchup. Right. But other than that, they ain't afraid of those receivers. No way.
I tell you what, man, let's do a quick look ahead to week two. You know, some of the primetime matchups. I know we haven't really got through week one, but on a very short week, we have the Yofers, right, in NFC least. I don't know if I still want to call it NFL, NFC least so far. I'm going to give it a little bit more time, because I believe that, you know, that the Washington football team can really turn it around with that outstanding defense. But we got the Giants and the Washington football team on Thursday Night Football. And then the Ravens coming off a short week. I don't know if it's a short week with coming off Monday Night Football, going to Sunday Night Football. But, you know, you think about the Chiefs and the Ravens, it'll be a tremendous test. If the Ravens could beat the Chiefs, maybe potentially that can put them ahead early on in the season against the Cleveland Browns. And then we got the Lions. Who would have thought that these two teams would be going in, you know, both 0-1, the Lions and the Packers. And I don't want to call it a must win, but a very important need to win.
Yeah, well, first off, let's talk about that Thursday night matchup, man. I mean, the Giants against Washington. Hey, the Giants, man, I think they beat Washington twice last year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so they kind of feel pretty good about it. Their defense has to step up, certainly. They got to be able to protect against that fearsome foursome of the Washington football team. But, man, Washington got handled, you know, by the Chargers offensive line, revamp line. They were able to protect Justin Herbert. We'll see if the Giants can do the same. I'm not betting on it, by the way, but I think that'll be an interesting game. The Chiefs-Ravens, man, that's one I can't wait to see. And Bart, you mentioned about, you know, having Marcus Peters out, and I don't think this week it matters. I think they'll dial up their plan. They're going to dial up blitzes and get after the Raiders. But everybody in the country knows if you do that against the Chiefs, you are going to get beat. Patrick Mahomes, over and over and over, always he kills the blitz. He's the number one quarterback in the league against the blitz. So the Ravens may have to make some adjustments there, man. And I'd be multiple in my two high safeties. I'd play him that way, mix in occasional blitz. But, man, I'd be careful in that one. And and you got to be able to run the football. But I'm excited about that one. That ought to be a heck of a matchup. You know, I thought the Ravens were my preseason Super Bowl pick, but after the injuries that they had, you know, we'll see, man. But that'll be an unbelievable test for both teams. And then the Monday night matchup, man, Lions versus Packers. Hey, we can say what we want.
It's tradition.
The Lions were way more impressive than the Packers were. The Lions never quit. They're down 41-10 or something like that, where you're like, oh, my God, Dan Campbell's got to be embarrassing. Here's what the Lions did. The Lions did everything Dan Campbell said they would. You're going to get knocked down. Butts, and they're going to get back up, get knocked down again, get back up, and start biting kneecaps. That's what we saw in the fourth quarter from that team. Man, the fans were all into it, too, in Detroit. And good for them, man. They love their football team. And, man, you know what? They all know it's a rebuilding team. But they have some dang fight. And if you don't think that they're just going to lay down for the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers because, you know, they're ticked off and they're all upset, you got another thing coming, man. Dan Campbell, watch out, dude. That team's going to fight. And we'll see. And if the Packers come out and lay an egg again, Detroit can beat them.
I tell you what, yeah, teams seem to be hurting their fist on their face, you know, as they learn how to take a good ass kicking. But I tell you what, we'll talk about that more next week. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast every week from now until the Super Bowl. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. See you, Rex.
All right. See you, Bart.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.